there. We will continue in Proverbs this evening. This morning we looked at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, and this evening we'll look at verse 14 of Proverbs chapter 28. But for our New Testament reading, we'll be reading verses 1 through 11 of Philippians chapter 2. Hear then God's holy and inspired word. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondslave and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. That's for our reading in the New Testament. And then I invite you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, we'll read verses 13 and 14. And our focus this evening will be on verse 14. This is God's word. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Blessed is the man who always fears, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Dear people of God, I ask the question this morning, what is it that uniquely characterizes the genuine follower of Jesus Christ, those who belong to the one true and living God? What is it that distinguishes a true follower of Jesus from one who is not a follower of Jesus? And we said this morning that we could look throughout Scripture and perhaps come up with a list in terms of what distinguishes genuine followers of the Lord Jesus Christ from those who do not follow him. But we turn to the book of Proverbs this morning, and tonight we return to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs, a book of contrasts, contrasting the proud with the humble, the diligent with the lazy, the fool, and the wise. And contrasting also in our passage before us, the genuine follower of God versus the one who does not follow the Lord God. And so this morning we saw that the Lord identifies key characteristics of those who belong to him as his genuine followers. And this morning the Lord identified three characteristics for us. The first one was open confession of our sins to the Lord, holding nothing back and hiding nothing from God, but confessing openly our sins is what characterizes a true follower of Jesus Christ. We saw, secondly, that earnest forsaking of our sins is also a characteristic of the genuine follower of Jesus, making a clean break with our sins and clinging to the Lord. And we saw that there was a third characteristic, namely that those who are genuine followers of the Lord Jesus Christ have a genuine, grounded expectation of receiving God's mercy in Jesus Christ as they come to him confessing their sins and forsaking their sins. And even this morning, as we meditated upon these three characteristics, we were challenged to embrace that this is, in fact, the beginning of the Christian life, confessing our sin openly, earnestly forsaking our sins, and having a grounded expectation of God's mercy extended to us in Jesus Christ. But we saw that this wasn't only the beginning of the Christian life, that this is the ongoing Christian life. None of us, not one follower of Jesus Christ, graduates from this until he or she enters into glory. And therefore, God this morning called you to make sure that your life includes these characteristics. But tonight, we come back to Proverbs chapter 28, verses 13 and 14. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Blessed is the man who always fears, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. It is here that God reveals to us another characteristic of the genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. A fourth characteristic, which we might call godly carefulness. Godly carefulness. First, we might look at the translation. If you have a New King James Bible, it says, "Happy is the man who is always reverent." And that translation is okay, but I would argue that it's weak. It's weaker than the New American Standard Bible, which is the typical Bible which is read from this pulpit and in the pews, where the New American Standard says, "How blessed is the man who fears always." That is a good translation. The NIV and the ESV add something to what the verse says. They say, "Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always." Now, it may be implied in the text that it is a fearing of the Lord, but that's not actually there in the original language. And so the New American Standard Bible is really the most crisp and accurate translation of this opening phrase of verse 14. How blessed is the man who fears always. Here is godly carefulness, and it is a picture set before us of godly carefulness in the genuine follower of the Lord. We might ask, well, what is godly carefulness? How do we understand this phrase, how blessed is the man who fears always? Well, there are two passages in Scripture which come to mind, which help to, as it were, unpack what God says here in verse 14. The first was our call to worship tonight from Isaiah chapter 66, where God says this, "But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word." This is the one upon whom God looks with favor. That's the implication in Isaiah chapter 66, that those who don't tremble before his word are those whom he looks upon with disfavor. But those who tremble at his word are the ones whom God looks upon with favor. But perhaps the most powerful passage which unpacks Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 14 is found in Psalm 130. It's in Psalm 130 that we have a memorable statement regarding the fear of the Lord. It's there in Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. Listen to it. You've probably heard it before, but I would ask you to listen carefully to it, especially the youngsters here tonight. Listen to what God says. "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared." It's an interesting statement, isn't it? We might, if we were writing it, write something else. "There is forgiveness with you that you might be praised." There is forgiveness with you that you might be honored and worshiped. There is forgiveness with you that we might rejoice in your presence. And all those things are true, and we can find other passages in the Bible which, in fact, enforce those things. But Psalm 130 is profound. There is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. And so we might ask, how does it play itself out according to Proverbs 28, verse 14? Well, we might think about it this way in terms of putting verses 13 and 14 together. God the Holy Spirit, by his word, confronts me with my sins, with my personal sins, where I have fallen short of the glory of God. I'm convicted that I am guilty and that I cannot pay what I must pay. But I hear that there is mercy and grace to be found in the holy God through God's Son, making a once and for all sacrifice for sin on Calvary's cross. And so instead of running from the holy God to whom I must give an account, I am led by the Spirit of God to come to the foot of the cross and to openly confess all my sins which nailed Jesus to the tree. To openly confess all my transgressions. And I then abandon my sins. I forsake them and I abandon myself into the arms of Jesus. And what is my experience? What is my experience as the Holy Spirit effectually calls me and enables me to rest upon Christ alone for my salvation? What is my experience? I find mercy extended to me in which I'm enfolded into the very bosom of God. A restored relationship. All my sins washed away. The promise and guarantee of everlasting life and knowing the compassionate kindness and tenderness of God as I rest in his bosom. And so, there's a newly found holy awe and reverence of God when this happens. It's Psalm 130. There is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. There is a newly found holy awe and reverence of God. And my soul sings. Then sings my soul, my Lord, my God, to thee, how great thou art. Isn't that the experience of the genuine follower of God as he, she is brought to the Lord Jesus for the first time? And we might ask, what then is created in the heart of one who so impacted by the love of God in Christ Jesus? Well, what is created is a corresponding trembling. Trembling. Psalm 2 speaks about rejoice with trembling before the Lord. Our passage here in Proverbs 28, verse 14, speaks about fearing always. There's a trembling which exclaims, oh, how can I ever sin against so good a God again? How could I ever do it? But is it really a trembling? Well, it's interesting, the word which is used here in the Hebrew language in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 14, actually gives that impression. It's not just an intellectual concept of fearing God. It rather is to be in the immediate presence of that which causes trembling. It's not a mere abstract mental concept. Rather, it is that which affects the whole person, heart, mind, will, affections, conscience, and even one's body of trembling. This is then what follows in terms of being a recipient of God's mercy in Jesus Christ. That there's a corresponding trembling which now characterizes my life, which we read of here in verse 14. Blessed is the man who fears, who trembles always. Here is a trembling that is afraid of offending God, afraid of returning to sin. Here is a trembling that produces a healthy fear which promotes diligence and overthrows despondency. Here is a healthy fear which produces holy caution and godly carefulness, a healthy fear which is completely consistent with my freedom in Christ and equally opposed to bondage and cowering. Here is a healthy fear fueled by the love of God in Christ and put into practice based upon my love for God in Christ. Here is a healthy fear that rejoices in God and his righteous law and weeps because men do not keep God's law. Blessed is the man who trembles always. How blessed is the man who fears always. Now we might ask at this point, what might the New Testament parallel to this look like? After all, we've been looking at a number of Old Testament passages. What does the New Testament equivalent of this look like? Well, it looks like Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. Then the churches throughout all of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Here's what it looks like. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, what promises? The promise that God will be our God and we shall be his people forever. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Or maybe 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Or the passage which we read here this evening from Philippians chapter 2. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Oh, this is not just some sort of Old Testament concept. This is pervasive throughout Scripture, and this is a characteristic of the genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If open confession, earnest forsaking, and grounded expectancy are characteristics of the genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, so also is this godly carefulness. Godly carefulness, trembling. What does it include? Well, let me suggest to you several things. This godly carefulness includes, first of all, a fear of yourself. A fear of yourself. Oh, to be sure, it's rooted in our fear of the Lord. That holy awe and wonder, being stunned and staggered by God's grace in Christ. There is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. But there's something more which is accompanying this always fearing. There is an ongoing fear of yourself. How come? Because you know what you're capable of. You know that in and of yourself, you are capable of departing from the living God. You know that in and of yourself, you are capable of going astray and dishonoring the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that in and of yourself, you are capable of nothing except that which dishonors your King. And so there is a fear of yourself. There's a fear, secondly, of self-confidence. Of self-confidence. A distrust in self is what must be the characteristic of the genuine follower of Jesus. One has put it this way: faith without fear is only self-confidence and self-delusion. We must have a healthy fear of self-confidence, and we must have a robust faith of Christ confidence. Blessed is the man who fears always. And so you must have a fear of yourself, a fear of self-confidence, a fear filled with faith in the faithful God. Always looking to the faithful God to be faithful to his promises to you in Jesus Christ. And also, it is a fear which cultivates a sensitive conscience. It is a fear which cultivates a sensitive conscience informed by and conformed to the Word of God. That's what this fear, this trembling is about. Maybe we could think about it in terms of Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Or think of Proverbs chapter 6 in terms of what God hates. Proverbs 6 and verse 16, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. You see, the man who fears always is cultivating a sensitive conscience, lest he does that which the Lord hates. The woman who is on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ is cultivating that sensitive conscience to love what the Lord loves and hate what the Lord hates. Think about it in terms of Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Again, another passage which calls upon us to listen to the word so that the fear of the Lord would cultivate a sensitive conscience in us. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. A sensitive conscience is cultivated. Godly carefulness is the characteristic which the Spirit of God is cultivating in the people of God. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told in prophecy in Isaiah chapter 11 that he walks in the fear of the Lord, the Messiah. Right? And what was Jesus' assessment? I always do that which pleases the Father. How so? Because he loved what the Father loves and hated what the Father hates. Now, you aren't Jesus, and I'm not Jesus, and I've got a little secret for you. You don't always do what pleases the Father, and neither do I. Oh, but isn't it your heart's burden if you're a follower of Jesus that you want to be more like him, that you want to grow in Christ-likeness, that you want to be one who is sensitive to that which is near and dear to the heart of your Heavenly Father? Now, before moving on, listen again to what God says in this passage. How blessed is the man who fears always. Always. Not just sometimes, but always. At all times, in all company, in every place and in every condition, in the morning, in the night, on the Lord's day, on every other day of the week, at work, on vacation, in adversity, in prosperity, in sickness, and in health. Blessed is the man who fears, who trembles always. Now, maybe as you hear this, you think, this just sounds impossible. Well, with man it is. But all things are possible with God. Maybe you think, this sounds over the top and just completely unrealistic. But does it really? Does it really sound over the top and completely unrealistic when you begin to meditate on how over the top and unrealistic it was for the eternal Son of God to become man on your behalf and to bear your sins all the way to Calvary's cross and to pay your debt in full for you that you might have mercy? and everlasting life. Is it really over the top? No. Here is the resource for cultivating godly carefulness, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross for us. Here is the secret to cultivating a heart, a mind, a conscience, even a body which trembles always. Yes, this is not Phariseeism. This is not legalism. This is loving sensitivity to your Savior who loved you and gave himself for you. Isn't that what it means, in fact, to walk coram Deo, before the face of God? To know that God is with you always. He's here now. Isn't this what it means to be able to embrace Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 practically? Listen to what God says. I think sometimes we read over these verses so quickly. I do. Maybe you don't. Colossians 3 and verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through him." That's what we are exhorted and encouraged and commanded to do as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, now indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. Isn't this what the Apostle Paul prayed for in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and following? "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." This is what it means to be more and more sanctified into the image of Christ. Godly carefulness. That no part of your life would, as it were, be segregated into a separate cubbyhole and say, "Well, this doesn't have any bearing upon how I follow Jesus. Jesus doesn't have anything to say about this cubbyhole over here." No. Blessed is the man who fears, who trembles always. Godly carefulness characterizes those who have openly confessed their sin, who have earnestly forsaken their sin, and have a grounded, confident expectation in God's mercy in Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of Christ produces this godly carefulness. And so this is the fourth characteristic of the genuine follower of the Lord. So I ask, what does this look like for you? Is this something which is personally present in your life? Has Christ brought you to the place of godly carefulness for the first time? For the rest of time that you are here on earth? This is his desire and his design. But this leads to a second point tonight, namely ungodly insensitivity. Ungodly insensitivity. This is what God contrasts godly carefulness with in verse 14. God wants you to see the opposite so that you really understand what godly carefulness is all about. Look at verse 14 again. "Happy is the man, blessed is the man who fears always, but," here's the contrast, "he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity." Ungodly insensitivity. The opposite of fearing always is hardening your heart. That's what God says here. The opposite of fearing always is hardening your heart, to become insensitive at the core of your being. Insensitive to what? Insensitive to sin, to its heinousness and danger. Think about Proverbs 14 and verse 6. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages on and is self-confident. Insensitive to correction, to instruction in righteousness, to admonishment and rebuke. Proverbs 13:1. A wise son listens to his father's instruction, but a scoffer, a mocker, does not listen to rebuke. Proverbs 15, verse 10, harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. Hardness of heart, insensitivity to sin, insensitivity to correction, insensitivity to God's grace. He who hardens his heart is insensitive to the grace of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What does that look like out there in the world? Well, it looks like scorn and contempt, right? But what does it look like when it creeps into the church? It looks like boredom. I've heard it all before. It looks like yawning when we hear about Jesus laying down his life for sinners, the chief of sinners like us. Insensitivity to grace. And what's its most gross form in the church? Well, its most gross form in the church is that one may even use God's grace as an excuse to go on sinning. Well, to err is human, and to forgive is divine. Today's my sinning day, tomorrow will be my repenting day. As if you're guaranteed that there's a tomorrow. Insensitivity to sin, to correction, to God's grace. Insensitivity, listen, to God's just wrath. What a terrible thing to be insensitive to God's wrath. Proverbs 16 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Oh, it seems like this is the way. Everybody's on it. It's the broad path. We're all in this together. If my friends are going to be in hell, what a party I'm going to have there. You say, well, I would never say something like that. I understand. But to be insensitive to the wrath of God is to be labeled as Romans chapter 3 and verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's the description. That's the climactic description of all apart from the grace of God in Jesus. There were ones in the psalmist's day in Psalm 94 who said this, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob pay attention. Many people would say, I would never, never say something like that. And yet, as I mentioned this morning, we live more and more privatized lives where we do things in private that we have a practical Psalm 94 attitude. God does not see what I'm doing. He who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. And so here is one who is hardened against the Word of God, hardened against the Son of God, and hardened against all who would truly care for his or her soul. But what will be the end of this one who hardens his heart? Verse 14 tells us very clearly, he will fall into calamity. Literally, in the Hebrew, it's he will fall into evil. he will fall into evil, into the evil of sin, having become callous to all that is pleasing and displeasing to God. What restraints are left to prevent falling into greater and more enormous sins? In fact, the scriptures paint an even more terrifying picture for us. For those who harden their hearts repeatedly, these ones expose themselves to the risk of God removing his own restraint from them. That is a fearful thing. That is the evil of evils, that God would leave you alone. That God would let you have your own way. Proverbs 22 puts it this way, "The mouth of an immoral woman is a deep pit. He who is hated by the Lord will fall there." Romans chapter 1 puts it this way, "Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions." The fall of the one who hardens his heart will be great, and in the end, the calamity that will be faced is the loss of one soul in hell. And we should only say that with tears in our eyes. But it is what God says. And so here then is something to fear. Something to fear. Ungodly insensitivity. And the genuine follower of Jesus hears the word of God and takes it to heart, and in godly carefulness fears and says, "There go I, but for the grace of God in Jesus Christ. That's me. But thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us the victory over sin and death and damnation." And so there's a warning here. It's like a road sign, slippery road ahead. God paints it for us in stark contrast, black and white. Happy is the man, blessed is the man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into evil. Godly carefulness versus ungodly insensitivity. But before moving on to our last point, let me just say one thing. That there's not one person here tonight whose life is in neutral, whose life is stagnant and not moving. Each one here tonight, including the one speaking to you, is in motion. You're moving. You're either moving more towards godly carefulness, or you're moving more towards ungodly insensitivity. The Christian life is not one of stagnation. You're either moving one way or the other. As God sets this contrast then before you tonight, he wants you to honestly assess which direction are you moving in. And here is where you need the Lord's help to see clearly. How many times do we sadly read in the Bible of ones who started well but did not end well? The words of the apostle, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." This did not happen all at once, did it? It always starts slowly and almost imperceptibly. The guard of watchfulness is let down. Personal prayer begins to go by the wayside. Personal Bible intake begins to wane. Certain temptations are indulged in. And what I'm saying is this, people don't just wake up one day and out of the blue say, "You know what, I'm going to forsake the Lord and his church." It doesn't happen like that. It doesn't. Hardness of heart sometimes can be almost imperceptible in its gradations as one moves towards it. And all the more reason that God says that in Jesus Christ you need, and in Jesus Christ is provided for you, godly carefulness. Godly carefulness. You see, God's prescribed remedy is, blessed is the man who fears always. There is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. To this man will I look, to him who is of a humble and contrite spirit, who trembles at my word. Oh, that God would cultivate that in me and in you. For it is his means of protecting us from what he warns us of here, hardening the heart to fall into the evil ultimately of the great last day of judgment. But we must hasten to our last point tonight. We've looked at godly carefulness and ungodly insensitivity. But how shall we close tonight? We need to close by looking, thirdly and lastly, at a pronounced blessing. A pronounced blessing. Look again at verse 14. Blessed, happy is the man who fears always. This is God's pronouncement of blessing. Here we are confronted with that which is most desirable, God's blessing. Do you not want it? Do you not long for it? Do you not desire it? Is it not that which is more valuable to you than gold and riches and money? God's blessing is pronounced right here for you and me. And so as we come to the close tonight, this seems almost like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Like something that just doesn't seem to quite fit. Blessed is the man who always fears, who always trembles. That's strange. It sounds like strange words from the lips of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And we could add this to it right here in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 14. Blessed is the man who trembles always. It seems like an oxymoron. But we know it's not. Because this blessing is pronounced by the very lips of our great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to you and to me. He sets forth a blessing to us tonight, a blessing for every genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, who openly confesses his sin, who earnestly forsakes his sin, and who expectantly, with grounded confidence, expects mercy from God and walks in godly carefulness. A blessing. A blessing. And maybe we need to think about three individuals tonight. Three individuals who knew this blessing. This blessing is undeserved, gracious blessing from God. What were their names? Their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three men, genuine followers of the one true and living God, looking to the Lord to provide what they needed, forgiveness of sin and everlasting life. Dwelling in a far-off land in Babylon and being told that they must fall down and worship the false gods of Babylon. And it's in Daniel chapter 3 that we hear that they would not do that. In fact, we read, then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods nor worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Who indeed? You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they so feared to offend God that the burning fiery furnace was a better alternative in their eyes than disobeying the living God. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. They feared offending God more than the fiery furnace. This courage, too, didn't develop just overnight, did it? Fearing the Lord in the little things, refusing to compromise in the small things, by God's grace and the working of his Holy Spirit, prepared them to fear God in the big things. And what do we learn? We learn that the God whom they feared was with them. Nebuchadnezzar said, didn't we put three men into the fiery furnace? How is it that I see four there, and the fourth one like the Son of God? Blessed is the man who fears always. Nebuchadnezzar is made to eat his words. You know what he says in the end? He says this: Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language that speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. This is the God who has called you to genuinely follow him. And he is the God who has put his Son to death for you and has raised him triumphantly from the dead. And that because he lives, you shall live too. We will not be a people then who openly confess your sin to your God as he convicts you of them, who earnestly forsake your sin and flee to Jesus, who indeed have a grounded expectation of receiving mercy and being brought into the bosom of your God. And will you not be a people who walk in godly carefulness, recognizing that it would be so easy for you to harden your heart and to fall in such a way as to never get up again? Oh, but praise be to God, who says, work out your salvation. The salvation which I've worked in you, work it out in everyday life, every cubbyhole of your lives, and so prove to be my children. Show yourself that my name is written upon you. And I will get the praise and the glory, God says, for what I have worked in and through you. And so to him be the praise and the glory. This is grace. Amazing grace which teaches our hearts to fear. Amazing grace which relieves our fears. Amazing grace which enables us to walk in godly fear. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven,